VentureCast.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a few things that I think you automatically have to do. I mean, when that type of tragedy happens, I mean, you get a one-way ticket to therapy to kind of work through some of that immediate trauma. But I think for me, and really thinking about the book, is the work in that moving from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset and realizing that, you know, it really takes time. I mean, grief never completely goes away. You never fully recover from that type of loss. It just comes in waves and looks differently. So being able to fit in those times to grieve, to remember, also to kind of make sure that you're still moving forward.
Welcome to Think Business with Tyler, sharing our methods and strategies for success. Join in on our conversations with business owners as we highlight their triumphs and detail how they overcame the challenges they faced while continuing to grow and scale their business. It's time to think life, think success, and think business with your host, Tyler Martin.
Hey there, welcome back to Think Business with Tyler. Today, we've got a very special episode for you. Joining me is Chrissy Myers, an incredibly resilient business leader who has mastered the art of juggling family legacy, HR innovation, and the roller coaster of entrepreneurship. Stick around as we dive into the inspiring journey of a woman who embodies strength in the face of adversity. You don't want to miss this one.
Hey guys, I want to just send you a short message here to apologize. You'll notice that the guest voice changes during the podcast. We were having some audio problems initially, and so we switched over different microphones, which fixed the audio problems. So I apologize early in the podcast. There's a couple little glitchy sounds, and then afterwards her voice changes a little bit, but then the sound stays clean the whole way through. So apologize for a little bit of snafu there, but hopefully you get a lot out of this show because she's got a lot of great wisdom bombs that she shares. And Chrissy is just an awesome guest. Thank you. Hey, Chrissy, thanks for being on the Think Business with Tyler podcast show. How is it going today?
Oh, Tyler, I am so excited to be here. Thank you for allowing me to share my story with your audience.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And on that note, I'd love to just learn a little bit more about you. Could we start first? What do you do professionally?
Okay. So yeah, a couple things. So I have AUI, Associated Underwriters Insurance, and Clarity HR. AUI is a third generation family business. It turns 50 this year, provides employee benefits to small organizations, small meaning anyone less than 100 employees. And then Clarity HR is a fractional HR company for individuals that don't want, or can't afford a full-time HR person. So they work in tandem. Clarity turns 5 this year to AUI's 50. So when I purchased AUI, Clarity was the startup that I launched after that.
Wow. Before I get into that, I'm kind of chomping at the bit here to ask you questions, but I'd love to know a little bit about you personally. Can you share something about your personal life, whether it be interest, family, whatever you want to share?
Yeah. So I would love to tell you, I am co-captain of Team Awesome Sauce. So when you have a family with three different last names, a mom that builds businesses and a dad that played team sports, you get a team name called Team Awesome Sauce, a purpose statement, which is we radiate awesome to the world. And then a list of core values that all spell out Team Awesome Sauce. Because when you have a 12-year-old and 16-year-old, having all of those core values in a lot of different words makes a lot of sense.
Wow. My head's spinning just from hearing all that. I think you said 12 and 16-year-old. I think that in itself sounds like your hands are full.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're learning every day.
I love it. I love it. Okay. That's great. So where I'd love to start. Mm-hmm. So you've got this legacy company, family business, 50 years old. What drove you to go in the Clarity HR direction? I'm just curious. What gave you the desire to have two businesses?
Okay. So initially, of like, am I even going to go into the family business? So that was a story in itself. But with clarity, I realized about 10 years ago when I was building the transition in AUI that I was creating an environment in a successful organization I was going to have to pay significantly more for. So realization was wait to start something else new until you've purchased the other business. But the impetus for clarity was our clients were telling us all the time, you do insurance really well. Would you consider doing HR? And for me, the answer was no, don't want to do HR. Don't like HR. HR people are scary. I don't want to hire someone that then knows how I can fire them really badly. And then they're going to sue me. So it took a little bit of time to figure out, you know, what could we do to kind of make HR less scary, more approachable for small business owners, because that can sometimes be a sticking point for individuals. It's the last thing that they're willing to hand off, but they don't necessarily understand all of the rules of the road that you need to be a very good person who leverages human capital. So I don't know if that's all of the answer, but that's as succinct as I can give you.
No, that's a great answer. So did you find the way you started the Clarity HR, is it mostly feed off of your current client base? Is that the way you kind of leveraged off of that to start?
So we piloted it with a current client that basically begged us to do it and said, you know, you don't even have to, you can, if it goes badly, we won't even talk about it, but would you really just try? And I had told him no for years. And so we accepted the proposal and kind of moved forward, built the business around that client. And then no, our majority business that has come to us for clarity has not been on the insurance side. So we're continuing and starting to leverage that untapped market and current client that we have over on the insurance space. So no, it's been an interesting space of organic growth, which I don't know that, I mean, if you talk to the strategic coaches of the world and the EOS centers, I would say that we definitely have an untapped market that we're continuing to work on. But I'm excited that we get people that don't have any connection to us that are coming to Clarity because it's another opportunity to cross-sell.
Does cash flow have you down? Profit not where you think it should be? Maybe it's the long hours. Let's meet to see if I can help. iBridge driving the financial performance of your business to hit growth and success targets. Book a complimentary meeting at meetforgrowth.com to get started now. Once again, that's meetforgrowth.com. I look forward to talking with you. And thanks for listening to the show.
I'm excited that we get people that don't have any connection to us that are coming to Clarity because it's another opportunity to cross-sell.
Yeah. And that was going to be my question. Is there a conflict to some degree, or how do you feel about that when they, let's say they come in through the channel of Clarity HR, you know, obviously you have inside a view of how their business operates, their health insurance, everything else, benefits, all probably risk all the way through. How do you wedge in the legacy side of the business, the insurance services?
So I think it's an opportunity that when it really presents itself, it's something that our HR professionals can kind of say, hey, have you thought about using AUI? Have you thought about this as a broker? At the same time, we know that there are some organizations that they've worked with their broker for a number of years, and we're okay with playing in the sandbox with everybody. We don't need the whole pie. We're happy to just have a slice of the pie. I think that's what makes us different in that small business space. I think there's a lot of small business advisors that can be strategic and specialize in one or two areas. We don't have to be the giant conglomerate that we have your payroll and we have your benefits and we have your 401k and we have your fractional HR. We're okay to just do the things that we know we're good at really, really well.
Yeah, that's great. So when you were on the insurance side of the business, I'm sure you got a certain perspective of your clients in terms of how they operate their business, what they're like, the problems that you hear. When you're on the HR side, I'm sure you see it through a different lens. Can you what does that look like from the different perspectives? Because you have really two very unique perspectives.
Yeah. So the benefit side tends to be more financial impact. You know, what are the things that we can do for the employees that are not cost prohibitive? How do we spend the dollars that we have earmarked for benefits correctly? How do we use those the best of our ability? So it's more about maximizing a value for a set budget amount. Now, on the HR side, that is a very different animal because you're not just talking about the benefits. Benefits are one tiny part of what HR really is. It's kind of a line item in a spreadsheet. HR is more about coaching, in my opinion, coaching the business owner and enabling them and empowering them to make decisions around their people so they feel like they can grow and they don't feel like they're trapped. What we don't ever want is for a small business owner to feel like they're a hostage to their organization. Sometimes you get an individual who you hire and because it's a small environment, you get attached to that person. And then when they don't perform, you don't know how to manage that. So on the HR side, we tend to be a little bit more on the coaching level, like working with the small business owner, working with their team, empowering their managers to make decisions around their people. It tends to be far more emotional. We work a lot through fear navigation than we do on the benefits, where it's more, it's very cut and dried on benefits, because it's what is the price? What is the benefit? What do we need to do? As opposed to on the HR side, it's how do we solve this problem? And there are a whole bunch of different options that we can choose from. There isn't just one path usually.
Yeah. I mean, you're on the field. Yeah, on the HR side. I mean, you're right in the action. The passes are flying over your head as things are happening. So I can imagine you see some things that, and it's interesting, you know, you brought up, you know, one of the challenges when you're in a small office is if you had mentioned about maybe if someone wasn't a fit, is if you just have one person in a small office that everyone's together, that dynamic of not being a fit is probably like 100x of what it is in a larger firm where maybe, you know, you can kind of hide that one person for a while. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And then if you take that and amplify it in the auspices of family business, it becomes even so. I mean, we get called in sometimes for those awkward conversations because mom or grandma isn't necessarily doing the job that they used to do. How do we empower the son-in-law to kind of do the things that they need to do, coaching them up and out? Because it's really hard to hide in a small business.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to pivot a little bit. And I know you had a very challenging moment, both personally and professionally. The Affordable Care Act, I'd like to talk a little bit when it got introduced. I think it threw a wrench into your normal operations. So I want to talk about that. But then in conjunction with that, sadly, you also had the passing of your husband. So you were hit with really two significant issues in a very short amount of time. Can we talk through that? Like, how did you deal with that? Because this lays the foundation also. I should mention your book, Reluctantly Resilient. It lays the foundation, I think, of where this all comes from.
Yeah. So the purpose of Reluctantly Resilient, we talk about how I had a hurricane professionally and personally at the same time. So the Affordable Care Act passed in 2010, was going live in 2013. It took the health insurance industry, especially where we are in Ohio, and I think everywhere throughout the country, it kind of flipped it on its head. So we had to learn how to do things differently. I mean, the way that we got compensated changed immediately. Our revenue was cut in half overnight within 6 months of operation. So we had to learn how to pivot quickly. At the same time, we had a law that was passed where there weren't a lot of parameters around what was going to be occurring. A lot of it said, like, as the secretary dictates. So we had to learn a lot, wait for different rules and regulations to even appear because it was passed before everything was completely finalized. So we had a government website that was coming up. We had a lot of different things and a new delivery system, how to sell. So we had to learn very quickly how to pivot and kind of continue to not, whether we were going to grow our business or we were going to sell our business or we were just going to close our doors. And at that point in time, I'd been with the organization for almost 10 years full time. I had fallen in love with the organization. I decided that at some point in time, I might want to buy it. So my dad was taking a step back. I was taking a step forward. And at the same time, life really happens in the margin. So I married my high school sweetheart. We had two beautiful children, Maddie and Caleb, and he dealt with some very difficult demons with mental health. And he lost his battle in August of 2013 when he took his own life. At the same time, we're preparing for the Affordable Care Act. And October 1st of 2013, that was when healthcare.gov went live. So I was dealing with, in essence, a double trauma, professionally that we were trying to continue to work through, you know, managing a team, teaching individuals how to sell a new product that no one had ever sold before, how to use a government website that hadn't been live yet, trying to figure out how we were going to pivot and market an organization. And then at the same time, being a single mom of two kids. At that point in time, Maddie was 5 and Caleb was just 18 months. And so it was, I mean, my world was turned upside down in an instant. And while you think, like, to me, everything needed to stop, but the Affordable Care Act didn't stop. Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, didn't pause open enrollment so that Chrissy could grieve. Everything had to continue as planned. My employees still needed to be compensated. We still needed to be able to feed our families. I needed to be able absolutely to feed my family. So we had to continue on. So learning to be reluctantly resilient is kind of that work that we do, not necessarily because we want to, but sometimes because we just have to.
Wow, that's powerful. I can't imagine. You know, I think as business owners, though, we can all face, like, the train's going to keep moving whether you want it to or not. But when you deal with tragedy like that, it's you want to at least kind of take your, catch your breath. And during that time period of the Affordable Care Act, I mean, there really wasn't a chance to even catch your breath. Did you have a chance to, how did you deal with, like, do you have a chance to mourn in your own way, maybe when things slowed down, or did you just fit it in as things were moving fast? How did you handle that?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a few things that I think you automatically have to do. I mean, when that type of tragedy happens, I mean, you get a one-way ticket to therapy to kind of work through some of that immediate trauma. But I think for me, and really thinking about the book, is the work in that moving from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset and realizing that, you know, it really takes time. I mean, grief never completely goes away. You never fully recover from that type of loss. It just comes in waves and looks differently. So being able to fit in those times to grieve, to remember, also to kind of make sure that you're still moving forward on the business side. There were a lot of challenges around it. And I would say that there were moments in time where I would say, I'm scheduling my breakdown for another month. I don't have time today. I will tell you that was probably not, no, it wasn't probably not. It was not healthy. It wasn't healthy for me, wasn't healthy for my kids, and it wasn't healthy for the business either. I mean, I had employees that were desperate for me to kind of continue to work with them and do the things that we needed to as we continued to work through business, becoming successful, doing a large acquisition the following year. I would sideline my grief to some degree. And I would say too, that in doing that, it was to my detriment, to the detriment of my health, sometimes to the detriment of the business, because I wasn't able to fully be present and focus.
Wow. How has that, dealing with being very resilient and dealing with a very challenging personal tragedy, how has that defined your leadership style as it relates to your business and just your business philosophy in general?
Yeah, I would say now, the Chrissy of now, as opposed to the Chrissy of even 10 years ago, has a lot more flexibility and capacity for the what else and the life that happens in the margin. We have expectations that we need to make sure that we're always present and being productive at work. But I think especially as an employer, something that we always need to think about is presenteeism, which means I am at work, but I'm not necessarily emotionally or mentally present at work. And as a result, I'm not necessarily as productive. Now, presenteeism can be, I'm scrolling on TikTok or I'm trying to ask a girl out on a date. It can also be, I'm really worried about my family member at home because they've got a mental health crisis, or my child is struggling at school and I think they might be bullied. And how do I cope with some of those things? So I believe, especially as employers, we have the ability to build those soft skills and coping mechanisms that while we may not always see the results immediately in work productivity, it can ripple through the lives of our employees. And if we can get even just 10% back of the presenteeism loss that we have as employers, we can quantify that in dollars as a business. And not only are we changing their lives within the organization, we're also rippling into their personal lives. So when we really take the time to impact the mental health and the resiliency of our employees and address presenteeism, we are also changing the world and changing their lives for the better.
I have such respect for business owners in general, but also when you're a single mom, you've been thrown into being a single mom. So you're balancing your two children, their needs. You're balancing your business needs, which means, you know, a lot of times it means you're responsible for your employees in a way like they're kind of like your kids. I mean, you're trying to get them a paycheck and you're trying to take care of them. That balancing act, and then of course tragedy hits and then a significant change in the way health insurance is handled. It's like, that's a lot. And for, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you and have this conversation is just, I believe resiliency is a big thing, but your whole thing is like in small business, your word resiliency to me is like resiliency cubed or resiliency X10 or something. It's like a whole nother level that you had to juggle a lot of things. And then you go and start another business. Is part of you kind of like you like the juggling? I mean, is that what drives you? It seems like you might be type A. So do you thrive on that a little bit?
I think as an entrepreneur, I don't like to be bored. I'm always looking for how can I put things in order? How can I make things better? There have been a few times where I've been accused of, you know, don't break it. You need to at least be patient and let things work. I would say that for me also, for a long time until I really worked on mindfulness, I've worked on mindfulness a lot since I lost Michael. It was, if I could keep myself so busy, I wouldn't have to deal with some of the chatter that's inside in my head. I think that's a lot of entrepreneurs. If we keep ourselves busy, there's some things we don't have to address. Now, I think because I've really worked on addressing some of that work, doing some interpersonal effectiveness work and communication, I'm able to hold multiple things at any given time. So now on top of, you know, we've got the entrepreneurship work, we've also got community work. So I do a lot of volunteer work and board service with our Summit County Alcohol Addiction Mental Health Services Board. So I'm appointed to their board. I work on another board with our Chamber of Commerce, and then two other boards, one in workforce for high school students, and then Goodwill Industries. So they do workforce readiness as well. So, I mean, keeping busy is important. I would say that as business owners, there's two things that we really need to build in skills and balance. One is interpersonal effectiveness. So being able to take care of our own mental health as business owners, being able to acknowledge that how we manage stress is important. How our employees see us manage stress in the workplace is really important, because we model that behavior, not just for our team, but also for our customers, and then also to our family. So we need to build in our personal effectiveness. And then we also need to have a what else. And a what else is that thing beyond profit, beyond business, that drives us. So for me, my what else is enabling and helping other business owners find what their what else is for their business, whether that is doing good and serving the community is just as important as doing business in the community, or, you know, having a quality product that changes the lives of our customers is what is important. So making sure that you can build those two things within your organization and within your family. We're a very purpose-driven family. Obviously, we have a purpose statement and a motto. I think it makes life more, it's you're living in more color. It's brighter.
If you're a business owner feeling stuck in your business, overwhelmed, responsible for everything that happens, and working long hours, Tyler helps his clients develop processes, hire high-performing team members, and better understand their financial metrics and numbers to allow for a more predictable, less hands-on business. To schedule a free, no-pressure consultation, head to thinktyler.com and click the meeting button. Tyler would love to see if he can help you work on your business, not in your business. Schedule a consultation today at thinktyler.com. Think life, think success, think business.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer. All lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
We're a very purpose-driven family. Obviously, we have a purpose statement and a motto. I think it makes life more. It's you're living in more color. It's brighter.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, family businesses, I mean, they immediately bring up a lot of different emotions when you think about family businesses. So you've got this 50-year-old legacy business, long history, rich history, probably. How do you deal with, sounds like you purchased the business from your dad. How do you deal with the legacy of the business, but then also kind of bringing it forward? Is it, do you balance that, or is it like, hey, I own it now, I'm going to do what I want? Or how do you balance that so that, you know, imagine with your family, keeping the legacy to some degree is very important.
Yeah. For me, honoring the legacy is absolutely important. Not necessarily doing everything the way that it's always been done. So AUI was founded by my grandmother. She was a pastor's wife. My grandfather was a pastor in a very poor congregation. So she was the one that helped pay the bills. My dad purchased it from her and her partner, retired him. My mom came to work with them when they got married. My dad passed in 16. I bought the business from my mom in 19. So honoring their legacy was really important. At the same time, we have dealt with some major implications and changes within our industry. So we knew we couldn't stay the same. So for me, it is, what are those tried and true principles? So there was a motto that was longstanding, which is called service is the heart of our business. So instead of saying service is the heart of our business now, we know that service is one of our core values. So, and for me, community is a core value that's really important. And we took what we did in the past, and in the majority of what the service that we did as an organization was in that faith-based community. Now we've taken it and we've amplified it even more, enabling our employees to be able to volunteer and take up their time and time that we give them to volunteer in whatever type of organization that they want. But then also, what can we do as an organization to continue to amplify and ripple out the service that we want to provide within the community? So this year, as AUI turns 50, we're doing 50 acts of service for the community. We're on service project number 10, the beginning of this year. We're continuing to work through, but it's those moments too, where you're pulling in your organization and your team members and going, okay, what are the things that you would like to do? How would you like to say thank you to our customers and to the community for enabling us? Because we're not just successful because we show up. We're successful because other people empower us, our customers empower us, the community empowers us to be able to do good work. So I think that in itself is kind of taking the legacy that we have in service as an organization and continuing to amplify. So I think as any business owner, especially when you buy a generational family business, you kind of think, how am I going to put my fingerprints on it? I think it's also important that while we're doing those fingerprints, we're also honoring what has come before us. We don't have to worship it. We don't have to always follow the recipe exactly, but to at least acknowledge that I am here and I am successful because someone else was willing to do hard things too, I think is really important.
Yeah. Wow, there's so many business lessons in what you just shared. I mean, from, you know, community driven to respecting the legacy to even growing your business by being out in the community and letting people know you're appreciative, the 50 gestures. It's funny, I have a client, a great client, wonderful client. They've got a 100-year history. And the father, yeah, it's really cool, multi-generation. I think it's 4 generations. And the father is still involved in the business, as well as the son who's now taking the helm. And they're a wonderful business. They do really well. But there's natural friction. There's, you know, the father has seen it done a certain way, and sometimes over the years have changed where you might do things differently. So there's like this tension a lot and this friction for them to get to the next level and how they're going to do that. And so it sounds like, you know, you've been very creative, but you've also been able to be very delicate in terms of the honoring the history of the 50-year-old legacy. That's pretty cool.
I think there's moments I've gotten better at it. I will say, if you read the book, there were some definite moments for my mom and I where we arm wrestled with the business, trying to figure out how we were going to transition effectively. And one of the things that I will credit her for is she said, you know, we need to go to therapy to learn how to talk to each other. Because if we don't have a relationship post business, what is this all for? And Tyler, I was so mad at her when she said that was going to happen, but I wanted the business and I wanted to transition. So I dug my heels in and we went. And now, I mean, it was bumpy. And I think if anyone who says family business transition is easy, I'd really like to meet them and have them tell me their story, because I feel like they are either lying or they may be an absolute unicorn. I need to know what their secrets are, because I have not met a family business owner in transition or post-transition that says, yeah, that was really easy. Everything worked out so perfectly. I think it's really important that you got to be real with your family. And you know, there's going to be some moments that just really are not comfortable.
Yeah, I could go down the list. I mean, I have several that are currently clients, but just in my history, and that friction is there. It's real. I mean, it's just, especially as the transitions, let's say it's before the transition and they're just working together, but that's in the future, you can see it coming. There's just a lot of friction that happens during, in between, and after. That's a balancing act. So it still sounds like you've done a great job. I mean, I appreciate your transparency and sharing that there's friction, but it sounds like you've really, I mean, you're carrying the torch into a new direction in a really cool way. I'm sure it's making the legacy very proud of where you're going with it.
Thank you. Yes. And I will say the best feedback I got from this whole entire process and transition, because we did not do everything well as a family when we did transition, was when I released the book. I did not tell my mom I was writing a book, and she came flying up my driveway out of her car. And I'm like, oh my God, she read the book. This is scary. And she hugged me and I'm going, did you like it? She said, yes. And everything you wrote, you were real and you were authentic. And I appreciate, I said, but we weren't always in the best light. Like, I talk about how we weren't nice to each other. She's like, yes, but that's exactly who we were. And that's who we need to be to the world. Everyone needs to know that it's not always easy. I'm going, wow, this was a huge transition from, I mean, our mantra as a family for a long time was show no weakness. So for me to write this book and say, hey, we weren't perfect while we were going through this transition. We had moments where we were literally screaming in the middle of a driveway at each other, and it's there for the world to see. And so it was really impactful to even hear from her after transition, because now we have a really great relationship, but it took a long time for us to get there. I mean, we had a couple of years where we really had to work on our relationship, and it was hard work, but it was valuable. And I would not trade the relationship I have with her now for what it was before, even with all of the things that happened between us and having to go through those ups and downs. Those ups and downs were worth it because of where we are now.
Wow. What a wonderful story. One more thing I wanted to talk with you about. Mm-hmm. So you have two businesses, you have two children, you have a spouse, and then now you have all these volunteer activities that you do. It sounds like you're on the board of at least three or four things. You know, how do you balance your time? Any words of wisdom in terms of how you manage your time to be able to do all this and keep your sanity?
Yeah. So I would say the first is to make sure that when you're in a family business and when you're an entrepreneurial family, we talk about how we don't take hostages. So when I decided that I was going to buy AUI and we were going to launch Clarity, by that time, Steve and I were married. So it was really important that we had a family conversation around, you know, what does balance look like? What do goals and objectives look like as we run this business, as I run this business? And so we have a family meeting together as a couple once a week, so we can make sure we're on the same page as far as calendars, goals and objectives, major initiatives for the business, major initiatives for our family. I mean, we've got a lot going on. I mean, I've got businesses. He also has different investments that he's managing and running. He does commercial real estate. So, I mean, like we are in constant motion. The other part is making sure that your kids are aligned with you. And I would say I've had a couple questions lately around, you know, what are some tips you can give people to encourage their families to be in their business? And I'm like, well, first of all, that's a choice. I mean, whether or not your child wants to be in that business, I mean, if they want to be a doctor and you sell shoes, I really don't think you should force them to sell shoes. That's one argument. But the other part is if you really want your child to think about the business and want to be like you, then you need to have a healthy relationship with them and a healthy relationship with your business. You should never be choosing your organization over your family. So how does that balance work for you? And so for us, it's those conversations around making sure that we have intentional time with our kids every day, but then also, and I have intentional time with them as mom, one-on-one, consistently, whether it's through the week or throughout the quarter. We do something called quarterly board meetings, but they're really more like one-on-one time with mom and Maddie or mom and Caleb. And we kind of take a day, do an event, do some things together where we can build relationships. So, I mean, for me, family balance is also about family communication. And so making sure that when I am home or when I am quote unquote turning off from the business, I'm turning off from the business. I mean, there's all these different memes that you see about how like no one will care about, like your family won't care if you stayed to run payroll or your family won't care. They really don't. And so it's making sure that you're there for those moments that are really important. And here's the newsflash, Tyler. We know that all of those moments, if they're with our family, are important. So how do we say, what do we say yes to and what do we say no to? And when I am on in front of a customer or working with a business or working in the community, I am there and they have my time. But when I am home, I am home.
That's powerful. You know, this resilience, I want to go just one layer deeper. So many people that are running businesses oftentimes feel like they're either failing or they're not getting where they want to go. Burnout, which I think you kind of talked about just now a little bit. They've just got all these things that are happening that are in their mind saying, hey, I'm not where I'm supposed to be, or I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing. Any words of wisdom around that resiliency about sticking with it, or when is the right time to say, hey, maybe it, you know, don't stick with it any longer? I mean, any thoughts coming from your end of what you've dealt with?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. I think the first is, of course, you know, going back to building that interpersonal effectiveness. So if you don't want to go to therapy as a business owner, fine, find yourself a coach who can help you work future forward. So something that is helpful for you in problem solving and stress management, finding those things that can really help you manage your time, but then also manage your energy. Managing your energy is so important. And then I would also say, you know, we talked about family, but what also is important for me in entrepreneurship is community, because business ownership can be lonely. So finding organizations that give you connections to other business owners, whether it's EO or GoBundance or NABO, there's all sorts of different organizations. I mean, not just your chambers of commerce, because a lot of times your chambers of commerce are people that are employed by other people. You specifically want to seek out other business owners, because I feel like unless you're with people that truly understand what it's like to have to make payroll every week, it's difficult to have some of those conversations and understanding. I mean, there's really great organizations too for people that are COOs of organizations or chief officers in some way, but there's different between being owner and operator and just being operator. And so, you know, finding the right tribe of people, not just to say like, hey, I'm worried about you, or hey, maybe you should be checking on, like, let's make sure you're working on your health. Let's make sure you're focusing on your family. But then also those people that can cheer you on and say, did you make that goal big enough? I think having a tribe of people that can help stretch you is just as important as having someone to talk to around kind of understanding your perspective in business.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that feeling of having to make payroll, I agree with you. Like, you really want to associate with people that know what that feeling's like, because that's a different, you know, it just makes you feel different when you feel like you're responsible for your employees, and that a lot of your decisions, you're going, well, is this in the best interest of my employees? Am I thinking about, you know, being able to make payroll? Am I doing the steps it takes? And that's big. I think we gloss over that a lot of times. And sadly, sometimes I think we even look for input from folks that maybe that haven't experienced that type of environment, and nothing against them. It's just, unless you've experienced that, I think it gives you a different lens in how you look at growing a business and where you want to go.
Oh, you're so right. I completely echo 100%. It is all about, you know, those thoughts and feelings of the things that really keep you up at night as a business owner. I think especially for those business owners who walked through COVID, or who have walked through more than one bad business cycle. I mean, that's the other part. Like, some people are like, well, COVID was easy in comparison to 2008, or to in comparison to 1996, or comparison to where it is right now. I mean, that's where I think being able to find a tribe of individuals who have been through the ups and the downs and have had to manage those things, I think it just, it's inspiring. And it's also, it's solidarity. You can look at somebody else and go, okay, you know what it's like to not have to say, okay, we're not going to go on vacation this year because we need to make sure that we keep everybody employed, or we're going to make sure that we make payroll this week, which means that I'm not going to take a distribution and pay myself. So how do I kind of work through some of those things? I think that, oh, Tyler, you hit the nail on the head with finding the right tribe of people who really understand and can have compassion and empathy for your situation. And at the same time, sometimes be able to problem solve and help you think through things. Because another business owner, I mean, for me, there is nothing more valuable than another business owner who has been able to solve a problem that I cannot figure out.
And that not being able to take a distribution, wow, that's one that really can hit home. Like, when you have to make that decision of, you know, you're working hard, maybe even the hardest, and you have to make a decision of not taking a distribution, that can, that can hit home. Does cash flow have you down? Profit not where you think it should be? Maybe it's the long hours. Let's meet to see if I can help. iBridge, driving the financial performance of your business to hit growth and success targets. Book a complimentary meeting at meetforgrowth.com to get started now. Once again, that's meetforgrowth.com. I look forward to talking with you. And thanks for listening to the show. Hey, before I wrap up, I want to talk about you, a little bit about your book. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking, when your mom had come up to you and said, oh, I just read your book, and she loved it, which was cool. Is there a little bit of a weird feeling, though, that like people kind of know so much about your life? I mean, writing a book sounds super cool, but then there's also the side of like your neighbor knows more about your life maybe than most people. I mean, what's your thoughts around that?
Yeah. So for someone who was intensely private, probably 15 years ago, living with a husband that had a mental illness, this has been a very different walk for me. I would say that learning to live out loud and kind of amplify my story is, I'm still not completely comfortable with it. It has been a little different, where a couple of people have said like, oh, I read your book, and they're asking like, how's Maddie? How's Steve? And I'm like, how do you like, we're not friends on Facebook. How do you know these people? So, but it's true. But I think that part of the willingness to work through and write this book, because initially it was just going to be about finding your what else. That was all it was going to be about, was corporate philanthropy. And then as it kind of went through the work of writing the book, it became, you know, sharing your story is really more powerful than telling everybody they should volunteer more. Show them with how you've lived your life, not necessarily because you've got it all figured out. The purpose of this book is for more business owners to realize, hey, we're all hot messes and it's totally okay. So that's really where I'm at. Have I gotten comfortable with it? Not yet. Do I think I will be comfortable with it? We'll see. Maybe that's another episode in a few years. But I will say the ability to kind of amplify and find solidarity with other business owners. And if all this book does is encourage a few business owners to build their interpersonal effectiveness, their own resilience skill, so that the next time they deal with a hurricane in their lives, they stand steady. And I've done my job and I've done the work and the mission of the book.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, I've loved the conversation. Your website is clarityhr.com. This is your newer business, clarityhr.com. And then, of course, the 50-year-old legacy company, which is an awesome business, auiinfo.com, auiinfo.com. If people wanted to reach out to you, Chrissy, anywhere else you'd like them to go?
Yeah, so they can connect with me on LinkedIn. Chrissy Meyer, CEO, is a great spot. I'm also on Instagram, same handle. And then the book is called Reluctantly Resilient, and it's available through Amazon.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks a lot for being on the show. And hopefully we can cross paths again. I'd love to have you on again and we can maybe talk about book number two, or I'm sure maybe company number three. Who knows?
Thanks, Tyler. I appreciate the time. This has been wonderful. Thank you for allowing me to share my story with your audience.
Okay. Have a great one.
You too.
That's all for this episode of Think Business with Tyler. But we have plenty more resources to help you in your pursuit of business excellence on our website at thinktyler.com. If you'd like to be featured in a future episode of the show, feel free to reach out to us on social media at think_Tyler. We look forward to helping you think life, think success, and think business.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Backed podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us, from renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the Nature Backed podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.
Ever thought about starting your own podcast?
Do you have a business or a message you want to share with the world?
Well, now it's easier than ever with Electricast. Hi, I'm Mark Netter.
And I'm Peter Rafelson. We're the founders of Electricast Media.
Whether you want to start a new podcast or already have one, join Electricast to grow your audience, monetize your content, and build your community.
With our simple sign-up, you get free promotion, world-class analytics, premium ads, and personal support.
Go to Electricast.com and join our community today.
Electricast. Transform your influence.
Electricast.